You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. And, of course, the Civic Media app worldwide, along with 1590 AM and 1100 AM. 30 degrees in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 30 in Oshkosh. And you heard Brittany's forecast. Supposed to be up to around 40-ish today, so that's a good thing. Joining us right now, Katie Hess, Autism Society, and we appreciate you going out on this really icky morning, Katie, to come and visit us.
Happy to be here.
It's always good to see you.
Katie, you do a lot with the nonprofits. We know each other from past lives, but you know, for sure the Big Brothers Big Sisters, you were great at that. And
thank you.
You don't change, though. You don't change.
No.
You look exactly
the right?
same. I've talked with you on radio shows around the hall. You look exactly the same,
you
and
do.
We don't.
So we need that secret after the show.
Yeah.
I don't get, because ours, if you can still help us.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, hey, why the change from Big Brothers Big Sisters, very important in this community, mm-hmm. to the Autism Society?
Well, I think what happens, and we had talked about this earlier in the nonprofit world, is there's a lot of need out there, especially in this community. And there are a lot of wonderful people trying to do good things. And I think opportunities kind of present themselves to you when you're in this field. And I love the opportunity to help others. I have two nephews with autism. And so when this opportunity presented itself, the board actually reached out to me and said, hey, we have this opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. Are you interested? And yeah.
Pretty cool to have that special connection.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people do, even juvenile diabetes, they have somebody they know.
Absolutely.
And so many
Alzheimer's.
Things. Dementia, Alzheimer's. We work on that. Johnny, I lost my sister to that, and John's lost his mother to that, and Todd's dad. So it's just important. That's not critical, but it just, your heart's really, really in it. I mean, it's in it to begin with, but boy, when you have that personal connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes a difference because, I mean, when you understand the nonprofit world, you can really work in a lot of different fields, right?
Yeah.
You can work with a lot of different organizations.
Well, how to navigate, first of all, the nonprofit world, and then try to come.
It is a different animal.
It's a different animal.
Yes, and I've run my own company, and I've
That's
worked
awesome.
For profit, I've worked government, I've worked education. Nonprofit, again, is just very different.
Yes.
Now, autism, I was talking to Todd earlier, mm-hmm. we're pretty good at that, right? As a state of...
Yes.
I've heard a friend of mine's son has autism, and he was saying that he's very pleased. He'd lived other places. And tell mm-hmm. me why Wisconsin has stepped up their game.
Yeah, there are. It's actually pretty incredible. So Medicaid is actually part of this. And I know that's a big issue right now. We won't get political. But one of the things is there are optional services and there are required services through Medicaid. And Wisconsin does a really good job of taking those optional services, like the services that the Autism Society provides, and funds them for people. So for example, we have our conference next week, brings in about 1,000 people from around the state. And people can pay for that through Medicaid. And it's a program called CLTS. And that program allows them to get reimbursed, or CLTS to actually pay for them to go to this conference. And at that conference, they get education, they meet other people, they build relationships and they learn.
Who goes, so is this the caregiver or is this the person, the autistic person?
Yes.
Or is it people like, okay.
Yes. And
it's
families,
everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So it's a very broad based conference.
At the Dells?
Yes. At the Kalahari, of course.
Of course it is.
You know, when I was growing up or whatever, I never heard the word autism.
Right.
When did this become so much in the forefront and for it to have its own, I don't even know, own title, or because there's so many different types of, you know, mm-hmm. When did this really become to the forefront and everybody said, okay, this is something we need to attack and really support?
Yeah. Well, so it's gone by different names in the past, right? Just like anything else. And then they start to recognize, oh, okay, well, this is actually a very similar thing. And so they take those pieces and they put it together and they call it one thing. And so when you talk about like Asperger's and things right. like that, like they give it different names, right? Our organization started in 1979. Okay. That's when we actually were founded in Wisconsin. And so right around that time is when things started to become, oh, well, we actually know what this is. We can label it and we can actually provide services around it, because labeling it is one thing.
Right.
Right. But then once you label it, then people say, what can we do about this specifically?
Exactly.
So you get together with clinicians and doctors and they all decide, okay, well, what is it that we can do? What services can we provide to make things better? Otherwise, you know, what's, you know, that makes a big difference.
Okay, let's go back for some of the listeners and one of the hosts. Autism, like what is it? And tell me how it's diagnosed.
And we're with Katie Hess, Autism Society.
Right. Okay, yeah.
This is Autism Acceptance Month, the month of April.
And I think that's cool that you call it Acceptance Month, because mm-hmm. they're the part of it. But tell me about, mm-hmm. I don't know, your nephew, anybody that autism, how,
yeah, and what it entails. This is all part of this, I hate to say it, this controversial topic about diversity, right? Everyone's different. Everybody's brain works differently, right? And autism is no exception. And so there are people who are neurotypical and there are people who are neurodiverse. And so this is just a condition in which their brains are more diverse. That's basically what it is. And so with autism, you'll notice certain things in certain individuals, and it's different for everyone, just like every disease impacts every person differently. And for autism, it primarily impacts their social skills. So you'll recognize that they may have a hard time with loud noises or in large groups of people or with jokes and things like that. And so basically this whole acceptance piece is, it's not just about being aware, but it's about saying it's absolutely okay to be different. It's mm-hmm. wonderful to be different, and we love you the way that you are.
All right.
That's awesome.
Is it a growing concern, or is it being diagnosed more?
It depends. It is a growing concern because it is being diagnosed more. It doesn't necessarily mean it's getting, there are more people being diagnosed because more people have it. It's just that it's being recognized earlier.
Right.
You'll see in certain families who may not be able to afford to go to the doctor, they aren't getting diagnosed until later in life. Girls typically aren't diagnosed as quickly as boys are. And then you'll just see, you know, the populations that struggle tend to not get diagnosed until later as well.
And what are some of the signs that one would look for?
Yeah.
Because you can have autism at a young age. Is it a lifelong?
Yes. Okay. You have it at birth. And so basically, once you start going to the doctor and doing your regular checkups, they check for certain markers. And if the child isn't hitting those specific developmental markers, mm-hmm. that might be an indication that the child has autism, and then they will test for that.
Okay. Let's talk about acceptance. Tell me what you'd like to see from people who aren't familiar with people with autism, or what is your goal with the Acceptance Month?
Honestly, so we start with our day at the Capitol. So we'll be down in Madison with another Autism Society affiliate in the Madison region. We'll do a proclamation from the governor. We'll bring people from the community to come in and speak about being autistic or having a family member with autism. Mm-hmm. We'll have other organizations that support the autism field who will talk about autism. And again, it's just one of those things where we want people to be aware that there are people that are different from them, and to be kind and to be patient and to be accepting.
Which is awesome, because in our generation of growing up, it was almost like the, don't bring them to the surface, you know, be in the background. Mm-hmm. And it's gone 180 degrees, which is phenomenal, isn't it?
It is, because it doesn't just help the person with autism. It helps their family.
Oh, yeah.
It helps their neighbors, and it helps the community. And it helps employers, because, I mean, these people are looking for jobs just like anybody else, and they're extremely talented.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of recognizing that.
Tell me about that, extremely talented, because you hear mm-hmm. stories about this guy's playing Beethoven. It's like, wait, this
exactly.
guy, you know what I mean? Is that with every autistic person? Do they have a talent, or is it? I just don't know enough about it. I want to help you, and I want to help the people who are listening.
Yeah.
With this acceptance, but
again, it's different for everyone. My nephew in particular is extremely brilliant when it comes to math. You could ask him a question about. You could tell him your birthday, for example, and he'll tell you what day of the week you were born.
Yeah, that's cool.
Things like that. So
I get a friend of non-communicative or
non-verbal.
Yeah, but something a little bit more. But anyway, phenomenal. And you put him down in front of a piano or a xylophone or different things, and he'll hear something, and he can totally, he's got this unbelievable mm-hmm. musical talent.
Yeah. Yep, yep. And my nephew has that as well.
Okay.
He has both. Mm-hmm. So he's a perfect pitch.
Wow, mm-hmm. isn't that something?
Yep, he can tell you what note is playing on the radio or on the piano. Or,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's yeah. fantastic. Wow. It's beautiful.
Does he count cards? I'm just kidding.
I know you're going with that.
He would actually put him to use in that. This guy has no shame. He would do that.
$25 an hour.
He would do that.
Casino with me.
So. You know, I think that's awesome that you guys are bringing this to the surface.
Right.
I really do. And I know some of these kids get assimilated into schools, and a lot of them mm-hmm. are treated really good. I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think that's really, really cool that it, if nothing else, and you said there's not a cure, but you know what? Let's find a way to make sure whatever we can do to help them in their life and what they deal with, let's just make sure we embrace it. We don't hide it. We embrace it. Be mm-hmm. proud of it.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, what you're saying with the Autism Society is these people have every right but can work into just the mainstream. It's mm-hmm. just maybe a little bit more patience and a little bit more understanding by those mm-hmm. who aren't affected, who don't have that. What are some of the things that you're doing that the Autism Society is doing this month for this acceptance, like in terms of education for people like us? And
yeah. And what can people like us do to help?
Thank you. Yeah. So, of course, we'll take donations anytime of year.
But do you think we're
in our profit world?
Do you think
well, you don't have to lead.
If Todd's thing hadn't been for a different, if it had been for a different cause, mm-hmm. we would ask for half our money back from his St. Baldrick's things. We donated $100 mm-hmm. for Todd to get his head and beard, who had a huge beard, to get it all shaved.
Yeah.
That was 3 days ago.
That was three days ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you didn't know it was me.
Well, yep. Yeah, I was like, oh, I thought he looked different, but okay.
Yes.
Have you ever seen anybody grow something back so fast? So we're asking for half our money back. We'll donate it half to him back to you.
We'll take it.
Yeah. He didn't pay enough of a price.
We call him Chia Pet now. So.
Exactly.
I love it.
What do you guys do for fundraising?
So we do a golf outing. We do raise some money with our conference. That's nice. And we do a walk. And then, of course, donations come in from donors and things like that. We do an annual appeal. And yeah.
Will you please keep us in the loop? Whatever you got going on, we want to support it.
Yeah. Okay. You have something else coming up. It's October, but we can start raising money now.
Oh, yeah. So we did, it'll officially be launched on April 8th, but there was a soft launch for our Dancing with Our Stars program. And that's, well, it's not ours. It's another organization that runs it. But I was selected as one of the 8 dancers to raise funds for a charity. So I'll be raising funds for Autism.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's great. And who's your partner?
You didn't hear the bad news.
Michael Woody is my
dancer. I thought I was going to be your partner.
Oh, God. That'd be great.
And you're going to try to look for alternative forms of fundraising?
I'll need it.
Let's be honest.
I'll need it.
Congratulations. Are you nervous at all?
A little bit.
I'd be so... But you're probably a good dancer.
I'm okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay.
Wow.
I'm not.
Yeah. No.
It's great having you here, Katie.
Thank you.
I think this is so important. The Autism Society. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Please keep us in the loop. We'll support you 100%.
Thank you.
Quickly, website.
AutismGreaterWI.org.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, it's time to do it. It's time to break into spring, a text to win statewide contest. And with more details on the contest and how you can win right now just for listening and texting in, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much. It's our break into spring text to win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo. That includes a mattress, sheets, linens, and more.
All right. Well, hey.
It doesn't really include linens. I thought I'd throw that in there.
I like the Brewer tickets, the club seats. All right. This hour's keyword is grow. 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 Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Choose WISS or WGBW and use the text button to send the keyword GROW for your chance to win this statewide contest.
So once again, download the Civic Media app, choose WISS or WGBW, text the word GROW, GROW, right now. You've got until the end of the hour to text and qualify. Next chance to play coming up at 11 o'clock with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair On Air. That word again is GROW. Text in right now for your shot to win.
Some nice prizes.
Phenomenal prizes.
I mean, the Chula Vista, they've been great with us. But, you know, the Milwaukee Brewer club-level tickets, That's fun up there.
That's fantastic.
$100 and then, of course, Verlo. Yeah, these are some nice gifts.
Very nice gifts. Win. Man, that queen mattress set from Verlo is phenomenal. That's a great prize.
Are we excluded?
Yes, you cannot.
Okay, just checking. Okay, all right.
Out of those,
we didn't have that disclaimer.
You would pick the queen mattress. I'd take the Brewer Club.
Wow. And just so everybody knows, we are under. So this competition is for our listeners. Obviously, we can't win it. However, we're in competition with the other morning shows with Civic Media to get the most texts.
All right.
There
we go. No disrespect, but you people have let us down a little bit along those
bit.
Lines.
That last one hurt.
Just a little bit.
Well, we were doing
just
well.
Just a little bit.
Then it tapered off or something.
Yeah, come on, people.
Stick with it. Now, they can text now for the next...
Until 8 o'clock.
Until 8 o'clock.
Right. And the word is grow, so you can text
G-R-O-W.
Right now.
G-R-O-W.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
But you got to download the Civic Media app to do that. Easy to do.
Yes.
You can listen to us everywhere in the world with that app. Just make sure and choose the correct stations, WGBW or WISS, for us to get credit on the contest.
All right. Keyword is grow.
All right. This is awesome.
Brewers Club level tickets, Chula Vista getaway, $100 cash at stake right now. You got until 8 o'clock to text in grow and a chance to win the brand new queen mattress set from Verlo.
That's
fantastic.
This is
going to
be fun. Don't you feel good? I think we'll do better.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Come on, people.
I feel it. Okay, guys.
Do it for us.
Text in.
Do it for us. We don't want to get beat by our other stations in our company again.
Yeah.
Come on.
And to help us promote it, can't you share?
Yeah. Sure.
You don't know what that means.
I do too. Call up a friend. Let them know what's going on.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We got to get
Download it and share it. Put it in your DMs.
Don't leave it left unread. Don't leave them left unread.
Yeah, don't leave them left unread the way Dr. Chan did to me. Yes.
Oh,
there you go.
That's funny.
All right. Okay. We threw out a lot of good terms there.
Yes,
really good terms.
Well, that's because we're high tech, John. Yeah.
We still got Gizmo coming up to talk about Harry Houdini's birthday.
I heard something this morning that I didn't know. Always says he was born in Appleton, but he wasn't.
Well, he was born in like Yugoslavia or someplace, wasn't he?
And then they
something like that.
I point like it's over there.
Yeah. It's right next to title town.
I'm pointing like he's born. Well, he grew up on the east side, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think he was born someplace, and they kind of took a lot of credit for him. He wasn't in Appleton very long. You know what I mean?
But oh, really?
They took him like the adopted son. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, Gizmo knows a lot about him, but he'd be 150 or something? How old is this guy?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You're looking at us like we would know exactly. Todd, I thought you were going to find that out. Well, you knew he was going to ask.
He was 74. I don't know. When he died in the 30s?
You know how old Houdini was when he died? No one knows.
He was born 1874 in Budapest.
All right.
They're hungry.
Yep.
Yes.
Did you ever see that?
I just want to tell you, I was thinking about you yesterday. People just travel like crazy. My daughter leaves today to Italy. Greta was in Prague yesterday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And I know that
beautiful
her son
city.
Went to school. She loved it.
I still say the most beautiful city in the world.
She loved it. And she was with a friend of hers who unfortunately got sick.
So. Although I've heard Budapest is really cool too.
But it was, she felt very safe there, walking around.
Oh,
having,
Prague?
Yeah.
Not even a question.
She was
not
by herself. I'm
question.
Like, hey, is that a good idea? Because her friend got sick. She couldn't go out. And she goes, hey, Dad, I just went to these cafes and walked around.
Safest, at least on the surface, safest city I've ever been in my lifetime of a major city.
Wow. That's cool. Anyway,
I loved it.
She thought it was great. So she just got back listening.
No, that's cool. Boy, your daughters are traveling all over the world.
They do.
Wow.
They do.
Well, that's cool.
I barely got out of my hometown when I was younger. You know, my big trip out of high school was to go out to Seattle.
Ours was a Packer game.
Yeah.
That was it.
Seriously.
One Packer game a year, Bishop's charity game, early August. That was our summer vacation. And it was, but it was great. I mean, it was because it was so different.
What?
You weren't used to staying in a hotel, so it was awesome.
You don't have to do what they do, but, you know, and I'll tell you, they're frugal travelers. You can travel. It's not. You can travel if you know what you're doing. It doesn't cost a fortune.
Absolutely.
So
you know what I remember one time when we visited my sister in Milwaukee, which is going to the big city.
Yeah, well, that was big.
And I will remember this. It was like, oh my gosh, this must have been 1968 when the riots, and they would have these like National Guard Jeeps with 50 cal or whatever on the back,
really?
Driving down the streets. That was something. Yeah. Do you remember Father Groppi?
Groppi.
And he was like right, his church was like right across the street from my sister's house and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. You know the number one thing I remember though? I remember going to the park right next door to like shoot around basketball. And it's like, what are those squirrels? I'd never seen gray squirrels before and how big they are. Oh. In the UP, you only have red squirrels, which is like the size of a chipmunk, a little bit bigger than a chipmunk.
Right. And yeah, the skinny.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
No. Yeah.
Or black squirrels. We'd have some black squirrels up there. But anyway, so, you know, you'd shoot them with your BB gun and, you know, cut off the tails and hang them on the handlebars of your bike and whatever.
No, no.
Everybody
the
did
red
that.
Squirrels.
The red squirrels.
Right, yeah, we did that.
I can't.
You did not, did you?
Well, my friends did that. I didn't do that.
But I can't imagine you doing that.
But people did that.
Oh, yeah. And so the next time we come down, I said, I'm bringing my BB gun. I'm going to wait until my kids see these squirrels. I'm going to shoot. I remember shooting one, and he looked at me like, What? What are you doing? That's the best you got? He like literally looked at her like, what was that? That was not. He's like, ooh, I'm not messing with these squirrels in Wisconsin. These are huge. These are bad-ass squirrels. I'll never forget that. It was the number one thing I got back from Wisconsin. You can't believe the squirrels in that state.
They fight back.
They're crazy. Yes.
All right.
Gizmo's in the house. Frank Herman's way down the road. Sturgeon Spirits for the Mind of the Mayor's Top Craft Contest. Once again, you've got until the top of the hour. Register. What is the keyword?
Grow.
Thank you.
G-R-O-W.
Win a lot of stuff.
The Dom Salvia Show.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A 53-year-old pound man was killed when the car he was driving ran a stop sign, drove into a ditch, and then hit a tree Friday night. Marinette County Sheriff's officials say Edward J. Vancaster Jr. was not wearing his seatbelt, but all airbags did deploy. Officials believe speed was a factor in the crash, which remains under investigation. 26 Wisconsin youth sports teams have new Nike cleats thanks to Green Bay Packers quarterback and fan favorite Jordan Love. The Love for Cleats campaign aligns with the Hands of Love Foundation's overall mission to encourage children from all backgrounds to engage in sports, promoting physical and mental well-being. Hands of Love Foundation also works to raise awareness about mental health and suicide prevention and to foster stronger relationships between law enforcement and the community. Last season, Love pledged to donate new cleats to the youth sports teams in the state for every touchdown he scored, whether passing or rushing in the 2024-25 season. See our story at WGBW.fm for a list of the teams receiving cleats. North American river otters are known for being playful and quite mischievous. They love to slide and slip and do all sorts of cool little things. Louie and Ophelia, who reside at the new zoo in the Greater Green Bay area, have proven the fact and are sending zoo officials on a bit of a chase. Thursday, during the recent storm that dumped so much snow on the area, Louie and Ophelia escaped their enclosure through a small breach in fencing. The zoo said keepers noticed right away that they had escaped and initiated protocols to find them. The otters are no danger to the public, but they're looking for them and hope to have them home as soon as possible. The new zoo Facebook page has several videos from the zoo and the community at large of the naughty otters playing and slip-sliding around in the snow. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, reminder, ladies and gentlemen, you still have a chance to win $100 cash. You've got a chance to win a brand new queen mattress set from Verla Mattress Factory Store. You've got a chance to win a Chula Vista getaway. You've got a chance to win Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, and you have 20-some minutes to do that.
22 and a half.
Exactly.
Till 8 o'clock.
Thank you. I was going to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't.
By the time I got you, it's 21. You now have 18. Hang on a second. Tell them one more time how they can win any of those things, Todd.
Download the Civic Media app right now. Choose WISS or WGBW. Text the word GROW right now before 8 o'clock for your chance to win some of those prizes and qualify for the grand prize from Verlo Mattress Factory. Again, your next chance to play coming up at 11 o'clock.
And again, people, let me just say this, okay? Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish and say, I'm going to do that so I can win something. No. That's irregardless of you. That's not the important aspect. The important aspect is Jim and I.
Right.
This poor guy comes back from humanitarian mission down to Haiti.
Right.
He comes back, had terrible incidents with his visa being confiscated, yada, 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 because there was an incident at the shuffleball tournament on ship. Forget about that. Forget about it. He's not a criminal. But we don't want to lose to our competitors in the civic media
world.
There you
go. That's what it is.
Do it for us. That's all I'm saying. Well, how much?
It only takes
Gizmo. Gizmo. How much more can I? You know how I feel like? Sally Struthers. Do it for the children.
We need that song playing in the background.
As you get older, you look more and more like her too, which is kind of ironic.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Get that.
Take that whole thing we donated. Take the whole $100.
I noticed John didn't laugh there.
Hey, Gizmo.
How are you, sir?
This has to be almost like a national holiday for you.
Oh, it really is. I can't get enough of Houdini. I do have sort of an extensive knowledge. Like many magicians, once you've been into magic for more than, I'll say, a decade, you sort of glom on to, you know, the heroes of magic, and Houdini's one of those heroes. You know, and everybody knows he's synonymous with magic, and I even brought a trick today we can try to
pull
off. Yeah.
I was telling some people you were on today, and they were like, is he going to do a trick? I said, I don't know, but I'm sure he will.
Yeah. I wanted to pull one off today that is sort of goes with Houdini and the fact that it's his birthday. He was known for a lot of his escapes.
Right.
He escaped, but he was also known for a trick called metamorphosis. And a lot of magicians throughout history have redone it, different ways, I'm going to do a version of it with cards today. But metamorphosis was basically where him and his wife originally did it, and they would switch places instantaneously. And one of them would be inside of a box, one of them would be outside, and then they would flip up a curtain, and within a second, they'd switch places. So it's a pretty amazing feat, and I have something in cards that I'm going to try today.
Nice. Jim was asking a little bit about Houdini, about his...
his history, yeah.
He was a little bit of a self-promoter and maybe went outside the quote-unquote, outside the box that era.
He was a marketing genius. Right. Most people would consider him that, and because he knew how to draw a crowd. He really knew what what people would want to see, you know.
He played the media pretty well, too, didn't he?
He sure did.
Well, and with the timing, though, I mean, he'd be 150 today or something?
Yes, 100. Let's see.
What year is he born?
I have to do some math. 1874, so.
Okay, 151.
Yeah, there you go.
But at that time, I mean, he was on the stump. I mean, this guy was like a carny.
Yeah, you know, he has an interesting history. He did have a point in his life where some people back then were saying he wasn't worth $5. And $5 was a lot back then, but
that's
still it wasn't much. But it's because he had gotten into this sort of slump where he was doing magic, but a lot of other people were doing magic too. And the tricks were sort of getting stale. Everybody was kind of doing, everybody was cutting a woman in half. Everybody's kind of doing the same things. So he realized that when you incorporate death, a death element, you know, where you possibility of dying, people love it. They can't get enough of it. He started jumping into rivers. He went into a coffin that was submerged in a lake, a glass coffin. So there was no cheating. He held his breath, not held his breath, but he took slow breaths. There's a whole thing about it for 90 minutes inside of this coffin, almost died. That's where his career almost ended. But he survived. And then he's done, he tried to do different versions of it. He almost died doing one where he was buried in sand. And he's like, I'm going to do that again after he almost died. You know?
Yeah, that's
just
evil.
Determined.
Evil. I mean, people, that's not a great, that's not great about our society that we look for that, but I mean, Evel Knievel, all that stuff, right? Gladiator. Yeah.
Once in a while, somebody's willing to just go the distance, you know?
It's like, do that. Hey, tell me about though. Houdini is, I don't know, synonymous, but Appleton has really claimed him. Do they have a right to do that?
Essentially, yes. I mean, he was a kid there. His parents moved there when his dad got in trouble in Hungary over a murder, I guess. Yeah, there's some controversy there.
So he escaped. That's how he learned to escape.
Apparently. And they were looking for a rabbi in Appleton, and his dad was a rabbi, so he filled in. He didn't last long, and then they had to move again. They moved to Milwaukee, and you won't read, this is another thing you won't hear about Houdini, because he didn't talk about Milwaukee. His life in Milwaukee was horrible. He was poor, and he was just, it was just a horrible time for him, so he didn't even talk about it at all in his memoirs or anything. There's only a few people that knew that he even lived there. So it was kind of crazy, yeah.
Wow. But yeah, he claimed Appleton as his hometown.
He did. And even in his diary, he wrote, you know, I was born in Appleton, Wisconsin, you know, and he thought maybe if somebody found his diary, then they'd believe that.
Yeah.
But everybody knows his birth certificate and stuff is from Budapest, Hungary. And that's where, you know, that's where his folks were from. But he...
Appleton some credit for capitalizing on...
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants the hometown hero, you know, Louisville, Muhammad Ali, and, you know, of course us,
yeah.
Bart Starr.
He did live there, you know, I mean, and so it's not like he didn't live there, but he was just a kid there, you know.
Right. I think that's great that they got Houdini Plaza and everything.
Yeah.
And so did you study him, or what got you?
I think when you start to get into magic, you start to want to know, I mean, at least I did, you want to know where this magic comes from. Where did this trick come from? Where did it originate? And you, if you do enough research, you can find some magic tricks that I still do are hundreds of years old. You don't even realize
that's
it until
awesome.
You look it up. And then you find out, wow, this guy did a... there's some stuff that I do with things that are made of plastic now. I'm going to give you that. I won't give away what it is, but they make a lot of magic things with plastic. Back then, you had to hand forge things out of like copper and wood and stuff like that. A lot more difficult to pull off, you know, to make and stuff like
that. I hate to say this, but do you think there are some people in the audience when we do some of those death-defying tricks hoping that he wouldn't succeed?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's the people that go to. That's the people that go to the car race hoping for a crash.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to see it happen. Especially when he would do his torture, the torture cell. He would climb upside. He would go upside down. You know, in the tank, and then they would. And it was a trick. Let's face it. He could get out, but all it would have taken is a hiccup or something in his throat that made him cough or something, and he could have inhaled water and been dead, like instantly, you know?
But that was his demise, right?
No.
That's been a big
in the movie,
legend, right?
Oh, maybe it's the movie.
Yeah, they made a movie back in like the 60s or something. And
who played him, do you know?
Was
it Kirk Douglas?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he did a little Saw Woman thing in that movie. It was really funny, actually. But anyway, in the movie, they tried to make him a little bit more... you know, glamorous and not so, oh my God, he died in a hospital. So they made it seem like he died performing an illusion.
No.
But no, he actually died from appendicitis. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. He got punched in the stomach.
That's what I thought, from getting hit by a baseball bat or something?
No, he had his thing where he said, I can take a punch to the stomach, hit me as hard as you want. And then he would prepare for it, and then he would do this thing with his stomach so he could take a punch. Well, this guy was going to do it to him, and the guy went and punched him before he was ready.
Oh.
And he was in so much pain, and then he went to a doctor, and the doctor says, yeah, you got appendicitis. You got to get that taken care of. He's like, nah, I got a show tonight. He literally went and did a show knowing that he had a ruptured appendix. Anyway, he ended up back at the... He passed out on stage that night and then finished the show. Wow, right? Unbelievable.
And then died?
And then he went to the hospital, and then he was in so much pain he couldn't stand. They cut him open. Body was full of infection. And then he died like a few days later. It was on Halloween 1926 that he actually passed away.
Where did he die?
Nancy says Tony Curtis.
Oh, Tony Curtis. Houdini. There you go. Thank you. Curtis. Yeah.
Thank
Tony
you, Nancy.
Curtis. Yep. I knew it was a famous actor. I couldn't remember.
From that name. Era. I knew it was one of the big names.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but yeah, really good stuff.
Did he die in Milwaukee?
No, I'm not sure what hospital he was in.
Was he one of those guys though too that the other the other magicians didn't like him?
To a degree, but there was always competition back then. It was pretty fierce.
There were
magicians that like burned other magicians' stuff to the ground.
Wow.
You know, I mean, because it was like,
because
back then, a lot of the magicians, the touring magicians, they had to put all their stuff on a train. You know, I mean,
sure.
Boxcars full of stuff. And if one boxcar goes up, man, your whole act is gone. You know, I mean,
wow.
So that was a thing back then. People were so cutthroat and ruthless to try to get a show because it was tough, man. It was tough to get a show sometimes. And like I said, even Houdini went through that where he wasn't worth much because he was kind of doing the same tricks. He had to change. You had to adapt. There were magicians back then. Now I'm thinking of this other guy because Houdini was so good at marketing. He would do these crazy acts. He would hang upside down in a straitjacket and all that. Well, there were magicians around back then that tried to do some equally crazy stuff to draw attention. One guy went into this small town and he had a ambulance show up, you know, and he had some fake body parts and a car that looked crashed, and all waited for people to gather around. And he had like what looked like a coroner come over. What do we got here? And he grabbed an arm and put it in a bag, and grabbed a leg and put it in a bag, zipped up the bag. All right, nothing to see here, folks. And then the bag starts flipping around and rolling around, and the magician unzips it from the inside and crawls out of it. Hey, everybody, I'm just fine. You know? Now, back then, people were just disgusted by it, apparently, because the guy didn't do so well. His show didn't go well. They're like, this is what your show is going to be like. We're not going to go. But people tried all kinds of crazy stuff just to get attention.
That it got so competitive with, like you said, sawing the lady in half or with the other things. And then this death-defying acts is what brought more people in.
I will say that, though. I mean, if people see somebody upside down in water, you can relate to that.
You know there's an element of death there.
Exactly.
You just know. Yeah. Now, there was another guy. No,
I mean, you're never going to be in a box getting cut in half. But you could be underwater like that where you can really relate to that.
And that was the thing. And then when he would jump in, he jumped into a river one time with just handcuffs and a Speedo basically on.
Wow.
And jumped into a frozen.
Like he cast the first stone. Who hasn't done that?
And it wasn't a regular, it was frozen. They had to chip a hole.
Hey, try to get away.
Yeah. He jumped into this hole in the river, and he said the hardest part wasn't getting the cuffs off because he had a key tape to his foot, but it was finding the hole again because he, and then try to, where's the hole? You know?
Wow. But, yeah. Okay. Do you have a trick we could do over the air when we come back?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
do people need a deck of cards?
No, I don't.
Okay. Hold on. All right.
This is a good visual trick if you're on Facebook.
Okay. Harry Houdini's birthday. Gizmo's in the house. We are going to do a trick, and you have 11 minutes, folks. 11 minutes. Keyword, G-R-O-W. How do they do it, Todd?
Download the Civic Media app, choose WGBW or WISS, do it before 8 o'clock.
And what can they win, Todd?
They could win cash, they could win brewer tickets, they could win a bunch of stuff, and also that Queen mattress set from Verlo.
Exactly. And Jim is throwing in a set of fine linens he took from the cruise ship, part of the prize package. Do it for us. Do it for us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a nasty-looking Monday. 30 degrees in Green Bay, 30 in Appleton, 29 in Oshkosh. Snow changing to rain today, high of 43, a National Cocktail Day, Cheesesteak Day, Chocolate-Covered Raisins Day, National Cleaning Week, Happy Birthday, Peyton Manning, 48, Tommy Hilfiger, 74, Jim Parsons, 52, Nina is 65, and we've got Gizmo in the house celebrating Harry Houdini's, what did you say? You came up with that pretty quickly.
151. 151st birthday today. Because he was born in 1874. And just tell us, you're going to do a trick, but people celebrate this guy still.
They sure do.
And you got something going on in Appleton?
There's always something going on in Appleton because of his his childhood there. So they do different celebrations. I know they set up different things at different locations. So if you look into it, if you just type it in, you'll find something.
All right. Houdini Plaza. They're doing something
and
there.
Okay, kind of all over the country as well, too. Yeah. It depends on the city. But like Minnesota, they have a big magic convention over there every year, man. It's crazy.
Why him, Gizmo? I mean, we're talking about all these other magicians from back in the era. I'm sure Jim and Todd and nobody in our listeners could name another really famous magician from back then, even though there had to be hundreds, if not thousands. Yeah. Why are we still celebrating him 151 years later versus these other guys?
There's actually a lot of reasons. It's not just one. Probably the number one reason was his death-defying acts. The fact that he put his life at risk, he got the attention of a lot of people. And then there was mystery. You know, he loved to keep the idea of his life and where he was from and all of that a mystery. You know, even though he was from Budapest, he didn't want to be known as an immigrant back then. You know, strange as that was, right? There was a lot to his life. He had, I guess you could say part of it was his marketing too. You know, he was able to reach people differently than other magicians. And, he had a reputation for being, you know, a good guy, and everybody seemed to like him, and you know, that helped too, I'm sure, you know, but I don't know. It seems like there was a lot of things that just sort of happened at the right time, you know, and at the right place that he just happened to, you know, fit the bill.
That's some serious staying power. I mean, 151 years. And who would be like him today? I mean, Evel Knievel, but he's
probably
long gone.
David Blaine would be the equivalent in the magic community, because David Blaine is more of a showman. You know, he does a lot of death-defying things to an extent, where he's, you know, climbs into water tanks and he does a lot of stuff that's close, but not quite. I mean, there was a guy that he had an act where he climbed into a wash machine and then they turned it on and the thing spun around with the soap and everything. Yeah, and
All right, let's start a card trick.
All right, yes.
So, a trick.
I brought a card trick today that I wanted to share in lieu of Houdini. Now, this, like I said, mentioned earlier, Metamorphosis was a very famous trick of his, and it involved his wife, Bess. And his wife, Bess, I think her real name was Bethany, but they called her Bess. She would get involved, and what would happen is, first Houdini. Well, here I got some deck cards here. Just remember the order these are in. You got it? I'm joking,
got it,
right? So what it was is Houdini. We'll say he was the ace card. He would actually go into the box like this, and he would climb in, and then they would put a rope around him and a burlap bag, and he would be all contained in this box, and then they would close the box, and then. Here, I'm going to have John just find Bess. Now, before you do, I just want to show you a couple things here. I'm just going to cut maybe here, okay, and then maybe here, there, okay. Oh my gosh, what just happened there, right? Right, so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to cut this way, though. Look at, see what's happening here? Okay, now I'd like you to just cut them just like that, anywhere you want, right? Okay.
I just
want
to say what he just did. He just cut three different times in three different places, but it was the exact same card each time.
But now what I'm going to say before you do that.
Do I cut or do I just take
the top? I want you to do like that, and I want you to take that card underneath. Okay, but before you do that, Bess, it was his queen, and I gave you a little tip there. She's the queen of spades in the card. So I want you to just lift up the cards wherever you want. Okay, flip it around here. What do you got here? Oh, the jack. You were so close. Take that one and flip it over right there. There you are. There's that queen right there. Now, she was the queen in his life.
That's the one that popped up the three times he cut cards. No. I just cut the cards, and that one just popped up.
Right.
Same one.
So now, here's the thing. I'm going to just do this. I'm going to put it like this and leave it. I'm going to leave it sticking out like this, right? And that was Houdini. Now, this was Bess. She would climb up on top of the box. She'd bring up a curtain, and she would go like that. And then she would vanish, right? Okay. And now I'm just going to show you again real quick here. I'll go through the middle. I don't see the queen in there anywhere. But there's Houdini back on top of the deck. And inside the box was Bess, see? So now that was a metamorphosis.
That was very cool. I feel bad for the people listening because they couldn't see that. But that is a great... This card tricks, dude.
If we could do it again
after your segment,
yeah,
we will record it on video and put it on our Facebook.
Yeah, 18 inches away from me.
Yeah,
and he cut the cards three times in three separate places, and it was the same card each time. And then he does all this other stuff. I cut the card wherever I want, and it was the same card.
And he showed us the cards. They're all 52 decks.
I cut the card. I'm not in on the deal.
One word. Witch.
Yeah.
Stone him.
Witchcraft.
So, I will give a hint. If there are any magicians listening, they know the term Svengali.
Svengali.
And Svengali was involved with this trick
I've had people tell me I'm kind of like Svengali.
I heard Svengali. Totally different person.
Todd, people have 2 minutes. What can they do?
I've had that.
They can download the Civic Media app, WGBW or WISS. Choose one of those stations. In the lower right-hand corner, it says talk, text the word GROW, GROW, for your chance to play along in the Break into Spring statewide text to win contest.
Win some stuff and keep Jim and I from getting beat by our competitors in Civic Media.
We're very competitive. We do not like them. I mean, we respect them, but we would like to win.
And again, to our listeners.
We don't like them.
To our listeners out there, I implore you, enough about you. Think about us. Enough about you.
Finally.
Think about us. Yes.
Finally.
For what we do every day for you, we're just asking you to do a text. That's all we're asking.
Come on.
Todd, is that all we're asking?
That's all we're asking.
That's all we're asking. Yep. Winston. Gizmo in the house. Houdini's birthday. My head is still spinning from that card trick. Frank Herman's coming in to talk about the King of Krakow. Sturgeon Spirits will be coming in. We got a lot of bleeps still to go in the last hour. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.